From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. Last year, there were 3,000 reported cases of child abuse in La Crosse County, a number consistent with similar-sized counties in Wisconsin. But officials who deal with child abuse estimate another 9,000 incidents went unreported in La Crosse County last year. I recently talked about child abuse with Great Rivers United Way President James Falvey, Family and Children's Center President and CEO Mike Baim, and Nancy Pullman, the manager of the Family and Children's Section for the La Crosse County Human Services Department. I asked Nancy to define what is considered to be child abuse.
We get reports on everything from neglect, which is medical, emotional, physical neglect, to child sexual abuse and also physical abuse. Most of our reports do come from neglect, and that affects our youngest children. Typically ages 0 to 4 is where we see the highest numbers of neglected children.
And why is it the younger ages?
Well, lots of it seems to be related to young parents having young children and lack of supervision, lack of medical care at times, lack of getting them into special services, like if they needed birth to three or early childhood services, things like that.
Talk about the effect that child abuse has on the child while it's happening, but also how it carries throughout their life. Mike?
Well, the effects can certainly be long-term, even lifelong effects. And abuse and neglect can manifest itself in many ways, certainly the physical signs of abuse, but then psychologically, behaviorally, and once you get beyond the prevention of abuse and neglect and you start having to provide intervention and treatment services, that one of the societal impacts of that is the cost of that long term versus the cost of it on the intervention side. But certainly we often see, and I know Nancy could speak more to it, the generational abuse from grandparents to parents to children and then their children, and those cycles, and those are the things we're trying to intervene on and stop.
Is that self-fulfilling prophecy, is that the most difficult?
The intergenerational abuse?
Sure.
I would say that's very difficult. I mean, we see those types of families continue to come back into the system over and over and over again. In cases where we intervene and it's maybe a first-time incident that occurs, we feel that we have more success with those families. The earlier the intervention and the more comprehensive the intervention, the better the outcomes.
It's kind of hard to put a monetary amount on child abuse because obviously the physical and emotional pain that it can cause is, I don't know how you put a dollar sign on that. But James, I'm wondering if you can talk about the financial impact that child abuse does have on a community, on the La Crosse community.
I think it's just important to realize that the costs ripple out. You know, when there's a child that's experiencing abuse or neglect, it's not just that single instance that is problematic. But what we see is as kind of already been alluded to, is it creates a cycle of problems and challenges that lead to other or at-risk type behaviors. Kind of the list goes on and on, increased medical needs, increased psychological needs. The dysfunctionality that's interjected into the life of a child will cause a whole host of needs. And that's what we're seeing in this community. It's becoming more and more apparent that we have systems in place to try to address individual needs, if it's needs for education or if it's needs for income support through food shelves, if it's health needs. But what the real challenge sometimes seems to be is that the services are siloed, and it's really hard to address the breadth of needs that any individual has to help break the cycle that they're stuck in. And it's true with child abuse. It's true with people who are suffering from challenges with income, and income stability. And so I think our community is really right now ripe and ready to start reexamining how we address complex social issues like child abuse and realize that treating the symptoms isn't really solving any problems. We can treat the outcomes of abuse for decade after decade after decade, but until we as a community come together and say, hey, we can look at statistics right now and understand there's a certain number of people being abused each year. There's a certain number of new people coming forth as being abused each year. Until we decide that that's the number that we're going to attack, that the incoming numbers need to be attacked in as a community, let's go from X to Y in terms of number of abuse, and let's figure out what we need to do collectively to bring those numbers down. I think that's when you're going to see some real changes, and I think you'll see the real cost savings.
And you're talking about getting to the root of the problem.
You know, I think we should speak in plurals, you know, just to kind of to validate the fact that these problems are incredibly complex. Mm-hmm. So when we get to the roots of problems, and I think that's where this overwhelming problem can become a little bit easier to start to handle, because we could look at one particular input, if you will, or one particular causation of dysfunctional behavior and work at that first and foremost and see if we can measure success. And as we develop those successes, we can look to other areas to more holistically take care of the problem and then really look at the community indicators and move them.
And with such a complex issue, since each case is so unique, I'm imagining you can't have one solution to the issue. Mike?
In families where we see abuse, it shouldn't be a surprise to us. It isn't a surprise to us. You asked about potentially, you know, putting a cost on a case of abuse or neglect. In some of the statistics, according to the Centers for Disease Control, that came out in February of 2012, they estimate the cost of a child that's been abused or neglected is about $200,000 in their lifetime in terms of treatment once the abuse takes place.
And that's for the community or a personal cost?
That would be – the community would bear a lot of that, you bet. But beyond that, we know what the stressors are that cause abuse and neglect in families. We've identified those. We know what those are. And as James indicated – as a community, we often deal with those in silos. So if it's a housing issue is one of the stressors, someone might deal with that over here. If it's a job difficulty finding employment, somebody else deals with that over here, and we often never speak to each other, and we never coordinate those services for a family. And some of them even go unnoticed, unrecognized, and they're not able to access help for those things. So I think that's some of what James was saying, is we operate in these silos, and you know, I think we can certainly do a better job as a community.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Mike Boehm. He's the president and CEO of the Family and Children's Center. Nancy Pullman, she is a supervisor at La Crosse County's Human Services, and James Falvey, he's the executive director of the Great Rivers United Way. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we're talking about child abuse within the Coulee region. I'm wondering if we can talk about these different prevention programs that are in place. Nancy, can you talk about the role that La Crosse County plays in prevention, and as you mentioned before we started recording, in intervention programs as well?
Currently in my role as the manager of the Family Children's Section, our prevention dollars are limited. We focus, unfortunately, more on the mandated services that we have to provide once an abuse referral is received by our agency. In the past, we have provided funding for prevention and would like to continue to do that in the future. We certainly encourage providers in the community, and we've partnered with providers to try and get more prevention dollars into our community through grants. But my focus is mainly the supervision of all of our staff that deal with child protection referrals and investigations and our intervention at that point. Most families don't want our intervention, but we do have families that come to us voluntarily when they themselves notice that they're having problems, they're having more stresses, they can't control their children.
As an example, can you tell us what you do and what motions you go through if a family does approach you or if a case is referred to you on the county level?
When we get a case, we have a set of criteria we have to use to determine if it meets the criteria for child abuse or neglect, child maltreatment, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And once we've determined that and we screen that referral in, it gets assigned to a social worker who has to do an investigation of the family. And we have to determine if abuse, maltreatment did occur or not. If we determine it did not occur, oftentimes we refer the family to community services that we are aware of that might help them with whatever their needs are. If we determine abuse did occur, we oftentimes open those cases, I would say probably 95% of the time, we open those cases to ongoing services, and that's where we provide for a year or longer support services to the family to meet their needs.
Can you talk about the different prevention or intervention programs that the Family and Children's Service Center provides, or maybe that the United Way is helping to fund, Mike?
The programs that Family and Children's Center provide that deal directly with abuse and neglect would be our Stepping Stones program, which is a child advocacy center. That is a program that deals with the situation once it occurs. So as I mentioned earlier, we do forensic interviewing there. We work very closely with La Crosse County Human Services and the local police department and court services essentially to help investigate and potentially prosecute those cases of abuse and neglect. And beyond that, then we have a family advocate in that program that works with the non-offending parent and the child to get services in place to help them once abuse and neglect occurs. The other program we offer as an agency is our Healthy Families in-home visiting program. And the Healthy Families program does receive some funding from the United Way and used to receive that some of those prevention dollars that Nancy mentioned that they no longer have the money to provide. So we fund that program through the United Way and through private donors and any grants we can bring in to help fund the program. It is a totally free service to families that are in need of it. But the Healthy Families model is really truly a prevention model. We work with both local hospitals to identify families even prenatally or at birth for a menu of risk factors. Like I mentioned earlier, we know the risk factors of abuse and neglect. So those families are screened for those risk factors. And if they score a certain score on those risk factors, they're offered the service. It's totally voluntary. They don't have to take the service. Many do, though. Unfortunately, of the families that are screened to be at high risk, we're only able to serve about a third of those families that are screened. So we currently serve about 85 families in the program. And we have 25 to 30 on a waiting list at any given time.
So then does a family graduate out of a program, or do you continue communicating with them?
Well, in the Healthy Family, it's an evidence-based model. So we are able to work with the family from birth up until the age of 5 with the child in the family. If they were to have another child in that time frame and those risk factors are still there, we'd be able to continue working with that family with that child as well. So it's certainly possible we might be with a family 5, 6, 7, 8 years working with that family. And again, their sole purpose is to work with that family on relieving whatever those stresses are in that family that might be contributing to abuse and neglect. So, you know, it could be helping them find stable housing, could be helping them find employment, hooking them up with other providers in the community that work with those things. Could be formula, car seats, diapers. I mean, you name it, whatever the stressors are on that family, those staff are working with them to alleviate.
So how are you able to gauge success of prevention or intervention programs?
Nancy? That's very challenging. We have for many years, Healthy Families has been around for many, many years in collecting data on the persons that they serve and asking us to look in our data system to find out if those persons have entered our system. And that's really the only way you can tell is if you take actual participants and do longitudinal studies. And some of that has been done in other places throughout the country. You know, we know that Healthy Families is evidence-based, and actually seeing in our local community, you know, has been a little bit more difficult. But we certainly have data, statistics, and numbers nationwide that we could apply to here.
What should someone do if they believe that a child is being abused? Teachers receive training, so they're able to identify. Some are able to identify mm-hmm. if they think a student is being abused. Mm-hmm. But a neighbor or a family friend, what should they do, and especially if they feel like it's none of their business?
And that's an issue within our community. As, you know, our society has developed, we've become much more closed about what we intervene on and what we don't. And in communities and in neighborhoods, people don't even know each other anymore. And that's a lot of what the month of April is about, child abuse prevention, by getting the community involved, the community preventing abuse, by reporting it when it's appropriate, or just by lending a hand to your neighbor when they're struggling with their children. There are a lot of people who have stresses and just don't have the resources. They're disconnected from their family or live far away from their family. And so a neighbor in the community that might say, you know, I'll watch your kids for a few hours while you go grocery shopping and go do your laundry, would really relieve a lot of stress for that single mom. So it's really about the community pitching in and being aware of what is abuse and what's not. And that's what we're trying to do with the month of April, is increase awareness. So certainly when we have mandated reporters in schools, clinics, the dentist's office, wherever, and they suspect abuse or maltreatment of a child, they should report it to our agency so we can determine if it's occurring or not. And if the family is just stressed out, again, we connect them to resources in the community.
Mike, did you want to add anything?
I wanted to go back to your question on, you know, do these prevention programs work?
Sure.
And Mancy mentioned longitudinal studies, and actually Viterbo University did conduct a longitudinal study a few years ago on the Healthy Families program, because as an agency we want to know, is what we're doing effective? Healthy Families at the time, or Viterbo at the time, found that 98% of every family that came into the Healthy Families program did not have a reported allegation of abuse or neglect. So those are pretty astounding statistics. And, you know, imagine if we could serve every family that needed the service instead of only a third of them. Hopefully we could cut that number of 3,000 reported cases every year. If we could cut that down by 98%, that would have a tremendous impact on the community. But unfortunately, and as we've been talking about, the funding isn't there for that. But what else? The other thing Viterbo found is that for every dollar spent for the Healthy Families program, it was estimated that $2 were saved within even the following year in terms of services that might have been needed for that family. And long-term, up to $4, so four times the return on that $1 of investment. So incredibly cost-effective intervention, too.
Mike Boehm is president and CEO of the Family and Children's Center. He was joined by Nancy Pullman of the La Crosse County Human Services Department and Great Rivers United Way President James Falvey to talk about prevention and intervention of child abuse cases in La Crosse County. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.